on this 19th day of July 2011 in Winnipeg, Canada. We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service. Lord Kapila Dev is speaking to his mother. Pasangam madaram bhasham.
Pasangam madaram bhasham.
Atmana kavayo viduhu.
Atmana kavayo viduhu.
Sa eva sadhu shukrito.
Sa eva sadhu shukrito.
Moksham dwaram apavritam.
Moksham dwaram apavritam.
Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Purport. Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage in conditioned life, and the same attachment, when applied to something else, opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It has simply to be transferred. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness, and attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity, by constitution, has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material things perpetuates our conditional state. But the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, is the source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. A sadhu is described in the Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhur eva samantavya. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. It is recommended here that if one at all wants to realize Brahman, or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to the sadhu or devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirmed this. Lava matra sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoy. Simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, one can attain perfection. Mahatma is a synonym for sadhu. It is said that service to a Mahatma, or elevated devotee of the Lord, is dwaram ahiva mukte, the royal road of liberation. Mahatsevam, Mahatsevam dvahamahu vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Bhagavatam 5.5.2. Rendering service to the materialist has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service to a gross materialist, or a person engaged only in sense enjoyment, then by association with such a person, the door to hell is opened. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord, because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshipper, and a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material condition, but he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction, and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with a sadhu. Kapila Muni first of all instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilatam Mena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So, the context of this beginning, this what I call the Sadhu Sangashtika, 8 verses on association with the Sadhu, is that Lord Kapila Dev is there to enlighten his mother. His mother, Devahuti, there's a whole pastime how she got married to a Kardama Muni, and she had 8 daughters and 1 son. 8 or 9 daughters?
9
daughters and 1 son. And the 1 son was Kapila Muni. So these 9 daughters have been married off. The husband has taken sannyas, and she's left with her exalted son. So now she takes the role of a conditioned soul, and she prays for enlightenment. She says, oh, my senses are causing me so much trouble. You are the light who can enlighten me. You are the axe who can cut down the tree of my material attachments. Please explain the goal of life and how to achieve it. This is the main question that the disciple should ask the guru. Well, why, as Sanatana Goswami, when he approached Lord Chaitanya, who am I, and why are the threefold miseries giving me so much trouble? And then he explained that I don't even know how to ask the right question, so you have to also teach me that. You know. Now Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana, you are already enlightened. You know, but this is the way in which real sadhus, real devotees act. They evoke the instructions by asking the right questions. So the same thing is here with Devahuti. And after some preliminary instruction, Lord Kapila Dev is going to give these 8 instructions on association and also attachment. The first verse pretty much talks about attachment. Now the first word here is prasanga. Prasanga means strong attachment. When you see the prefix pra anywhere, you'll know that this is an intensifier. Prashanta. It's supposed to be very peaceful. Not just peaceful, but very peaceful. And you'll see pra everywhere. So here we have prasangam ajadam pasha. Now pasha actually means rope. And ajadam means strong. So in this material world, we have so many strong ropes keeping us bound to the things of this world. We develop these attachments not only in this life but previous life. We come into this world due to our unfulfilled desires and our karma. We try to fulfill those desires in this life. And this way we extend the attachment, deepen the attachments. And when there is great attachment, there is also great repulsion. There's two sides of the same coin. If you're very attached to something and it's taken away from you, then comes the fire of lamentation. As Prahlad Maharaj says, he says, Yasmat priya priyava yoga sa yoga janma shoka agnina sakala yonisha dayamana. That material life is described perfectly in these 2 lines. That which is priya, that which we're attached to, maybe a wife or a husband and child or money or whatever it is, some conception of ourself, name and fame, just like this out and out demon, you know, Murdoch, the guy with the News Corp, you know, he's in so much trouble. He's built up this empire, but now his name is in the mud, and his whole empire is crumbling. It's built on a you know, demonic foundation. So you can imagine, you know, how he feels. He's very upset. He's angry. What he's attached to: the money, the name, people who he's worked with, his son who's going to be. So this is the nature of material life, and material life becomes extreme. Then it turns into demonic life. Then you find a description in the 16th chapter. And it's all built on this strong attachment to things that we ultimately don't own, that are all coming from Krishna. We deny the even the existence of God in the extreme sense, in the, you know, the demons, and just try to grab as much of this material energy as possible for our own gratification. So you can imagine how strong those attachments are. This word is used, pasha is used in the 16th chapter of Bhagavatam. Asha pasha shatar badha. The demons are bound by hundreds and hundreds of ropes of asha. Asha is aspirations to enjoy. It's a different kind of desire, but it's the same category. So this is our situation. We're bound by these attachments. And who's bound? The Atma. The Atmana. The living entity is bound through his attachments as mediated through his senses and mind and intelligence. You see? So that's the situation of conditioned life. We go around and around and around again, trying to fulfill the desires, sometimes in human life, sometimes in lower life. So the cure, according to Lord Kapiladev here, is to take that same attachment, that same prasanga, strong attachment, and direct it toward the sadhus. And that opens the doors to liberation. What is liberation? Liberation is easily defined as liberation from attachment to this world, which brings us back again and again. This comes up in the fifth. It comes up in all the cantos, but it's specifically thinking of these instructions of Lord Rishabhdev, where he has a similar idea. This is a central idea, and he says there, "Nunam pramatta kurate vikarma yadindriya prita yapranoti." When one is simply engaged in sense gratification, then it's certainly mad. Pramatta. Here's the word pra again, not just mattaha, but pramatta. Totally mad and intoxicated with this enjoying spirit, and is sure to perform vikarma. Vikarma is grossly sinful activity, vicious activity. And Prahlad says, nasadhu manya. Here's the word sadhu again, but it means something else. Sadhu in this context doesn't mean the person sadhu who's a devotee and like that, but it means very good. It's like sometimes you read in the books, if you read the Sanskrit, like Krishna's killing some demon, or he's dancing nicely, playing the flute, and his friends will say, "Oh, sadhu, sadhu." Even you hear devotees say the same thing, right? And everyone thinks, "Oh, they're calling him a sadhu." No, not really. It means bravo, bravo, bravo. You know, very good, very good. So that's what Kapiladev says. Na sadhu manne. My opinion is it's not very good. This absorption in sense gratification, performing vicious activity, because the basic problem is. Yata atmano, the atma, the soul, atmano yam asannapi klesha da asa deha. Then he will get another body, which is klesha da, which gives you all kinds of miseries. All of our miseries, when you stop to think about it, come about because we're trapped in this body. It's called the tanubrita. Tanubrita is a word for the soul in the body. One who is bearing the burden of a body. You know, whenever I'm in the airport. I was there for like an hour and a half waiting for my flight. So I'm chanting, you know, and seeing the people. You know, you see the people. And you see that that people who are completely, unaware of transcendental life, they bear the burden of their body sometimes very heavily. Unlike devotees. Devotees often kind of float along, you know. They're not so involved in, you know, the whole thing, you know. And sometimes they get very obese. You know, because of uncontrolled senses, and they're really bearing the burden. You know, you can see that they're more than others are really bearing that burden. But it doesn't matter whether they're obese or thin or beautiful or ugly, they're all bearing that burden of the body, tanubrita, which is so much restricting the activities of the soul. The spirit is more brilliant than the sun, is meant to be enjoying lila with Krishna in the spiritual world, in freedom, you know, complete freedom, no disease. No depression, no nothing. Just that's our actual life, you know. Even in higher stages of material life, you know, flying from planet to planet in Vimanas, you know. But now here we are in planet Earth and Kali Yuga, you know, bearing a burden in this body. So we want to get rid of that burden, and Rishabhdev says it's not a good idea because you just ensure another term, klesha asadeva. And then he mentions very interesting because. To go back to Devahuti, she's doing the right thing. She's doing the right. She's inquiring from the perfect guru, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Kapiladev is an incarnation of Krishna, so she's doing the right thing. That's the key. You have to give up your attempt to try to negate the difficulties that come from a material body with other material activities. You see, as Prahlad says, "Dukkha aushadham tatapi dukkha." The aushadhi, the remedies you get for the dukkha, are cause of more dukkha. And then you try to remedy that dukkha. See the problem? we have a problem. We want to get from here to there quicker. Okay. So then after some time, the industrial revolution, they invent the horseless carriage, they would call it at first, right? Because there we go, but horses, but it's too slow, too messy, you know. So we have the horseless carriage, the automobile. Automobile, oh, we're moving on our own now, right? Oh, all right, revolution. Now our problems are solved, you know? Right. Then you have to build the roads. Then you have to build the infrastructure to support it. Then you have to get the oil and the gasoline, da da da. So now we've got all these roads. Where I live in San Diego, that's Southern California, they get these horrific traffic jams. It's not much better in Toronto. You know, if you get on the road at the wrong time, you're inching along, you know. Plus the cost of gas, plus the wars in the Middle East and supporting all of these horrific dictators in order. You see the problem. Also, we can go from here to there faster, you know. So the aushadi for the dukkha causes more dukkha. So that's not going to work. So the second verse of this trio that Vrishabhdev gives, it's very pertinent to this. He says, "Paravabastava da bodhajato, yavan da jigyasa da atmatattvam." So now he's analyzing the source of why we're bound to a material body in this world. So that's called defeat. Being, you know, reincarnation again and again to suffer birth, old age, that's the defeat for the soul. So it's called Padabhavastava da Bodhajata. It's born out of ignorance. A Bodha is ignorance. And Jata means born. It's born out of ignorance, and therefore, Yavan Nijigyasa Dhatma Tattvam, as long as you not inquire into the truth of the self, the knowledge of what is the soul, what is God, what is this world, what is the relationship, how can we live in this world in order to go back to Godhead. If none of your inquiries are about that, it's rather your inquiries are, what's the price of this? How can they find this? Where is this, you know, enjoyment? Everyone's inquiring something. But as long as you don't inquire into that, you will remain ignorant and therefore you will remain defeated. Yavat kriyas tavati dhammanovai, as long as you're acting fruitively, kriyat in this context means selfishly. Tavati dhammanovai karmatmakam, your mind remains what is called karmatmakam, means full of all kinds of fruit of thoughts and desires. You see, you know, when you try to chant, because we're so conditioned, when you try to chant Hare Krishna, you know, it's often not possible to stay fixed on the holy name. This is our sadhana, right? So many thoughts are coming. So if when someone first starts chanting, and their minds are basically attuned to fruit of thoughts, it's much harder to concentrate. Because Hare Krishna, you know, the mantra, the sound, the whole, which is the basis of our bhakti yoga, is exactly 100 degrees opposite to that. You know, it's 180 degrees opposite to karmatmakam, fruit of mentality. It's Krishna service mentality, you know, for Krishna's pleasure. We're chanting for Krishna's pleasure, meditating on Krishna, not on ourselves, our senses. You know, that's the whole idea. So the mind is rebelling against that. And so it's very hard for people who haven't chanted before to just sit for one round. You know, they can get up, you know, they can't do it. You know, it's very difficult, but it's necessary, and gradually you get accustomed to it. So, karmatmakam yenashiri, and that karmatmakam, that karma-saturated mind, yenashiri dabanda, is what causes your bondage to the physical body. So now the third and last verse in this little lesson from Vrishabhdev, he says, eva manat karma vashampayunte. Thus the mind, the karmatmaka mind, is pushed uncontrollably toward food of activity. Karma vashampayunte, avidyayatmani, due to ignorance. So this is the situation. But never fear. The last two lines he gives the remedy. Priti nayavan mai vasudevi namuchate dehi yoga nitava. Priti means love. So now Vrishabhdev, who's an incarnation of Krishna, Vasudeva, he says, as long as one doesn't attain love for me, there will be no liberation. You see, you will not get liberated from the body. So that's his conclusion. Very important statement, which is reiterated elsewhere. But there's no liberation without bhakti. This is the whole point. So now here, this series of verses, beginning with the one here, what is it that, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, first of all, who is the sadhu? That will be elaborated on in the next two verses. But Prabhupada gives it his nice little definition. He would always quote this verse from the Bhagavad Gita. It begins, abhichet sararacharo. But the real essence of the who is the sadhu, bhajate mam ananyam bhak sadhu deva samantavyak. Krishna says he or she should be considered a sadhu who worships me with undeviating mind, or as Prabhupada says, has full faith in that. Bhajate mam ananyabhak. Ananyabhak means without deviation. Then even if they may sometimes be seen to perform some activity outside of devotional service, they should still be considered sadhus. And even if it says sudaracharo, it may seem abominable. But if their faith is in the right place, and they're striving in the right place, and they're going to the point of undeviating devotion, they're sadhus. Now, Kapiladeva will expand on that. I won't give too much about it, because we'll discuss that tomorrow. But this famous word, Tatikshava, Karunika, Suridaksava Dehina, Majata Shatravakshanta, Sadhavaksadabhushana. These are some of the ornaments. You have to see ornaments. Ornaments are meant to be seen, right? So one has to have a way of seeing, well, he's a sadhu, he's not a sadhu. Because you have to decide to approach and to become attached to them. So the first thing is tolerant and merciful. It's easy to be tolerant. You know, if you're, they have these baths now, what do they call it, sensory deprivation, where the temperature is just perfect, like your same temperature as your body, and you're lying in a bath where there's no sensation. In other words, there's no pain as far as possible, no sensation. But or even if you're in a very comfortable material situation, yeah, I'm tolerant. Yeah, but here it says you have to be merciful too. In other words, tatikshiva karunita. To be merciful means to approach people and try to give them Krishna consciousness. And you really have to be tolerant because they don't want it. You know, you have to go out on a day like this, hot, 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 or in Moscow during the winter, they're going out and distributing books. That's tolerance, where you put yourself in a difficult situation to show mercy to others, and yet you don't buckle under the difficulties that you're in. And Suradaksava Dehinam, friend of all. No enemies. You have no enmity toward anyone. You know, not easy to achieve. What does it say? Ajata Shatrabhat means that his enemy is never born. This is like a name for Yudhishthir. Even though he's on the battlefield, he had no enmity toward the others. He was doing it as a service for Krishna. Others saw him as an enemy. And we see people see devotees as enemies because they may be, for so many reasons, they think that we're brainwashing their children and joining Hare Krishnaism. But devotees don't feel enmity, real devotees. So these are some of the qualities. And the next verse after that, he says, yes, and they have to be one-pointed devotees to me, of course. They have to be Vaishnavas. So the very same attachment that keeps us bound opens the door to liberation when directed toward the sadhus. Because as Prabhupada explains, as soon as you come in touch with the sadhu, then what is he going to do? He's going to give what he gives. Instructions. The holy name. Instructions on devotional service. And if you've developed some attachment, then you'll be open to hearing that. This is Prabhupada's great gift. When he came to America, sometimes we wonder, well, how did the movement grow so fast? You know? I mean, they weren't, you know, super qualified any more than the young people are now. Or, you know, and yet the movement in the West is, you know, struggling along or maintaining, but there's not a lot of super growth like there was. The unrepeatable factor is Prabhupada's presence himself. He gave his association and they actually became attracted to him. Because he's all attractive. You know, these qualities of kindness and humility and austerity and bhakti, you know, they're attractive to those who are a little bit, you know, receptive to it, you know, sensitive. And it's true that there were many who were not really that much. They came in touch with Prabhupada, but didn't really surrender. But those who were really searching, those who were willing to stay and do some service or sit and hear and really get into the chanting and take prasadam, then Prabhupada was there and he drew their love and attachment. You didn't want to make him upset. You didn't want to disappoint him. And so you chanted your rounds and you gave up those, you know, addictions that we had, you know, sinful activities. It's a big thing. And as soon as you start to do that, then Krishna pours so much mercy on you and gives you the ability to remain detached and to become more attached to Prabhupada, which means attached to Krishna. Because as soon as you're attached to the sadhu, okay, let's do a kirtan, you know. And there's Krishna in the holy name, you know. And hearing the holy name from the lips of someone pure is like That's the goal. That's the what do they call it? The Holy Grail. You know, that's the most valuable thing in the universe. And Prabhupada gave him himself, and he's still giving. The sound vibration is there, you know. The books are there. The association is there with devotees who are sincerely following. And we'll see how this prasanga for the material things becomes transferred. A few verses hence comes the most famous verse in this series. Satam prasangan mamavirya samvido bhavanti ritkana rasayana kata. So what happens when you come in the association of devotees? Oh, you're going to hear vibrations about Krishna. Not just the holy name, but all kinds of things. So that's called satam prasangan. Means close association, and therefore close attachment. Sangha, it's interesting the way sangha means both attachment and association. Because what you associate with, you know, you're going to become attached to. If you go out and, you know, you frequent the bars, after a while you become attached to that atmosphere, and, you know, whatever. That's the way the modes of nature work. That's the way the mind works. So the intelligence has to guide you, the mind and senses, to go to get that association, which is the best thing for you. Even though you want to associate some other way, don't associate here. You know, that's the key. The intelligence. Because that's all we have that's really different than the animals. We all have our animal side, eating, sleeping, etc. But we have that intelligence that cats and dogs don't have. So that intelligence, when purified by hearing, either reading, you know, or hearing lectures and reading the Prabhupada's books, then you say, oh, this is what I should do for my ultimate benefit, is cultivate this good association and give up the bad association. And then there's another verse I like to quote in this regard. This is really nice from Jada Bharata. Jada Bharata was the reborn King Bharat who went through the deer body. That's another story we won't get into now. And when he played Jada, means dumb or stupid. You know, he didn't want to get entangled, so he played, you know, like he couldn't speak, he was kind of stupid. And so they didn't bother him too much. And he had various adventures in that regard, which I won't get into. But at a certain point, he's carrying this palanquin for a king, Rahugana, and he's not doing a very good job. Who remembers why?
Because of ants?
Yeah, because he didn't want to step on the ants. You know, when you're carrying a heavy load, you forget about what's under your feet, you just try to get good footing. You know, but he's looking down, oh, there's an ant there. So he's moving this way, that way, and the king is complaining. And finally, the king, you know, yells at him. You know, he was the new recruit. And then Jada Bharata starts speaking. And as soon as he starts speaking, all of this transcendental knowledge comes out. And the king says, what have I done? Because he was pious. He bowed down to him. And there was this whole exchange, you know, conversation. So one of the verses he gives there, a very short chapter, I think it's chapter 12 of the fifth canto, the last verse, 16th verse, he talks about Sangha. He says, Tasmanaro sangha su sangha jata gyanasine aiva vivritna moha hading tadiha katana shutabhyam labda smati ya tatipana madhvanaha. Anyone know this verse? Not a very famous verse. So what he says there, therefore, there's a little argument before, so there's a therefore verse. They're usually pretty important, you know, therefore, or etavan, which means something like the same thing. Naro, a human being, sangha susanga. So by the sangha is asanga susanga. Tasman naraha asanga susanga. By not associating with the bad things and associating with the su, with the good things. In other words, searching out this good association and simultaneously giving up the then bad association that gives rise, jata, is like janma, gives birth to the jnanasina, the sword of knowledge, transcendental knowledge. What do you do with that? Vivrikna moha. You can cut off your illusion. And that's not all. But then, harin tadiha katana shutabhyam. By hearing and chanting Hari's activities, lila, you see? And not only, you know, the lila in Vrindavan, but also his lila of creation and all of the things, you know. Then what happens? Labda smriti, it's great. You regain your memory. All of this knowledge is buried deep, deep, deep within our heart. Because we were once in the spiritual world with Krishna. But we've long forgotten that, and we're trying for many, many lifetimes. But that memory can be revived, just like an amnesiac. if you hear enough of what you used to be and where you live, and here's your kid, and here's your name, see, here's your job, here's your old study where you used to, oh yeah, yeah. I remember, now it's coming back to me. So this is a remembrance. What does it say? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhika Banoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kareyuda. That the eternal love for Krishna, the perfection of the eternal love for Krishna is there in the heart, and it becomes awakened by Shravana Adi, hearing, chanting, and all the other processes. So that's this verse by Rishabhdev. And he says, "By you regain your memory, and then yati adipadam advana, and you proceed nicely on the path back to Godhead." Prabhupada gives a sweet little purport, one paragraph, but this is the purpose of our International Society of Krishna Consciousness. We are giving a chance. You can come live. You know, we provide room and board, and you get a chance to hear and chant. It's very sweet. So the same thing, sangha, susanga. You know, asanga for the bad things, and susanga, you know, or prasanga, intense association with those who can really help us. So as we proceed in this little seminar on the Sadhu Sangashtika, you'll see it. It's very wonderful. And the end of the whole thing is you realize God. He says the last line of this 8 verses is that you realize me by this process of asanga and susanga. Okay, any discussion on these points? I'll read the translation once again. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Yes, Prashant.
So here we're talking about attachment, and because we are in material world, attachment may take different connotations when it comes to attachment to the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you draw the line where it starts getting into a little bit more materialistic attachment as compared to spiritual attachment?
So this is part of what sadhana bhakti is about, is how to relate to others, devotees as well as non-devotees, as well as the guru and everyone. You know, there's so much instruction. So that's a good question, because inevitably attachment, especially since we're so used to material attachment is, it can easily bleed over into that. We get mixed up. So real attachment, you know, for sadhus means that there's some personal service to be done, but mostly the service is hearing and accepting. There's this wonderful phrase, submissive oral reception, you know, Prabhupada would use. And as far as I can tell, this is a translation of this one word, shushusho, which comes in the Bhagavatam in the first canto, so right in the second verse. So shushusho is this, you know, hearing attentively and then try acting on the hearing, you know. And so that's real service. And we find in Prabhupada's time that, you know, many devotees wanted to do personal service for Prabhupada. And there's nothing wrong in that. He had his servants, he had his secretaries, and whenever he came to a temple, devotees were scrambling to do personal service. But what Prabhupada expressed, you know, he really appreciated the service, like what Bhaktitirtha Swami did, you know, in the final days. He was so appreciative, you know, and he hadn't spent much time with Prabhupada at all, but he'd been moving mountains to sell whole sets of books in universities in, you know, Eastern Europe when it was still communist, and all over the world. He revolutionized the whole process of book distribution, especially in academia. And, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, you've perfected your life, you know. So he really appreciated that kind of service. That's where the attachment should direct us. That kind of service. Because real, you know, attachment should be that you want to serve the attached person. You want to please them, you know. So you find out what pleases the sadhus most. And of course, what pleases them most is that you become a sadhu. You become a devotee and give devotion to others. That's really what Prabhupada wanted the most. Although he certainly saw the need, you know, for personal service, because there's a place where, you know, one feeds the other. You know, devotees so much love Srila Prabhupada, and also on the level of what he did for them, you know, for raising them up, giving them Krishna, saving their lives in so many cases. It's natural that there would be an outpouring of love and affection and care for Prabhupada. And that's all good. But it should, you know, he always emphasized that that should be culminated in sincere service. And the famous, you know, famous statement he made, that your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate to push on this movement after I'm gone. Essentially, you know, that's it. Which is much more difficult than cooking an offering for Prabhupada, is like cooperating with all the other devotees. With all the sometimes that's hard. But if you can do it, you know, and stay within the movement and push it on, purify it, wherever it is, that's what's most pleasing to Prabhupada. And you feel, you know, that you're connected to Krishna, you know, because Prabhupada is pleased. Any other comments, questions? Where are we time-wise? 8:49. Oh, you have a question. Please, Rishi.
If you have desires in, for devotional service, I have two questions.
I'm sorry?
I have two questions.
Go ahead, Prabhu.
If you have a desire for devotional service and material things, is it you? Will you be able to get liberated from the material world?
It's a serious question. By the time that you... First of all, you have to figure out what is liberation. You can be liberated even in this body. There's a verse like that. Iha yasya hari dasi karma namana sagara. Nikala shaptyavastasu jivan muktasa uchite. I gather you didn't know what that meant. So I'll explain. So iha means activities. There's a word iha, short A-I, and short A, and there's a long I, a long A. Iha means activity. So if all of your activities are Hare Dasi, devotional service to Hari or Krishna. Now, which activities? Karmana Manasa Agada. Karmana means the activities of the senses, active senses, with your mind and your voice. Basically, all the activities that we have. Nikalashu means all of them. Jivan Mukta Sa Uchate. One is said to be liberated even in this lifetime. It's called a Jivan Mukta. Now you're saying, well, okay, not all of my desires and activities are involved in service to Krishna. That was your question. Some are, some aren't, right? You have desires for service, and you have desires for not service. So that's why Krishna consciousness is a path. We're engaged in a path. The path is not something you see in a forest somewhere, but it's a path through time, which means as you get older, we're all getting older day by day, then you engage in certain activities to reach a goal. Then you're on a path, right? And that means you don't want to get off the path, so you don't deviate. So as serious devotees, they want to find out how they can make more and more of their desires for service to Krishna, and how they can gradually give up these other desires. That's what... Sadhana Bhakti. Have you ever heard that name? Sadhana Bhakti. Sadhana means practice. It's like, at great austerity, you underwent a whole morning program today. You did some chanting, you did some sleeping, you did some worship, and you're sitting in class, right? But the mind wasn't 100% on Krishna, I gather, especially when you're sleeping. But still, you made the. How many others your age are actually, you know, going through this? Practically none. But because of your wonderful parents, you know, you came here. You had some desire to come see Brinda, Devi, like that. But you had other desires. That's okay. So as you get older, hopefully you can become more and more serious about chanting and performing the activities of devotional service, and then the other desires will decrease. The percentage will decrease of material desires. Until one day you'll be a pure devotee. The percentage will be zero. And then you're liberated. Whether you leave this body or not, you know, you'll be liberated at that point. Like Prabhupada was liberated. You know, he still had, you know, his material body that he was using for Krishna service. But his mind, was he had no attachments to things here. You know, and you could see it, that nothing bothered him. You know, he went through such struggle and like that fight for the Bombay land, you know. I think people would have had a nervous breakdown, you know, if I had to go through that, you know, as the, you know, the main personality. And so many devotees who were struggling with Prabhupada, they didn't last. You know, Giriraj Swami is a great hero because he stayed there. And he fought the fight, you know, with Prabhupada for somebody, and many others, but others couldn't do it. So anyway, the point is that you're not really liberated until all your material desires are nil. But if you're on the path of liberation, then that's an auspicious life. So you're a very fortunate soul. Very fortunate that you have any desire to serve Krishna. So now, you know, by your parents and teachers, or teach you, you know, who can show you, you increase that desire more and more. And as you increase desire to serve Krishna, desire to serve Maya decreases. Don't worry. You're okay. Next question. I'm sorry?
Stuck between bhakti and the first question, but
you're elaborating.
Both.
Huh? You're stuck,
if you're stuck in the material desires and spiritual desires.
Yeah.
What will you do?
Just maintain. You just keep chanting your one round a day. How many rounds is it?
Six
rounds a day. You're chanting six rounds a day? Don't stop. You know? You have to be patient. This is one of the qualities of a devotee. You know Upadeshamita? Not yet. But this is your study when the time comes. Utsahan nishtahat dharyat. Tat tat karma pravartana. So tat tat karma pravartana means all of the activities that we do for Krishna in Krishna's service, most important of which is chanting. Okay? So you have to be enthusiastic, determined, and yet patient. In the activities of, say, chanting. All right, I'm not as enthusiastic as I should be. Let me pray for more enthusiasm. But I'm determined that I'm going to chant this six rounds. Even if I chant three rounds, one, and then fall asleep, and then later on I chant three, I'm going to chant those six rounds. You're determined. And the enthusiasm will come naturally because Krishna is all attractive, the holy name. And you have to be confident. You have to be faithful in these activities. So it's difficult at your age to have all those things. But just stay on the path. Be confident that you'll get the mercy. And one day you'll feel you won't want to stop chanting. You know, and all of your material desires, you say, I don't want. You know? So, you know, don't be impatient. As you grow up, how old are you now?
8.
8 years old. Okay. You have many, many years of sadhana in front of you. But it's good that you're asking these questions. Don't get me wrong.
But if you have to use the car, suppose you have a car.
You have a car?
It's a material desire. It's a material desire. But you're serving for devotees.
Then it's not material. If you're driving the car to the Rathiatra, and you're using the car for getting bhoga for Krishna, then that car is not an attachment. You're just like this body is a car, right? So we keep it fit. We have to feed it. We also like to eat, but we can eat for Krishna. So okay, I'm taking prasadam now. Krishna tasted this. That's one element of Krishna conscious eating. But also that yes, I'm going to become, you know, I have some energy now. I can do some service. So there's nothing. That's not Maya. That's Krishna consciousness.
You know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The second question.
Oh, Krishna. Well, later on. Relax, Mohan. That's good. I remember many questions. In this way, you torment your parents with questions. They love it. Okay. Shall we adjourn?
Thank you.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.